Welcome back, DG Ask. Going to talk to Derek Gould coming up in the next segment. Time for Stairway to Kevin.
All right. I'm curious if you guys, did you guys see the Larry David interview recently?
I did. About Trump?
No, it was beyond that. I mean, it was a bunch of things. Because I think it was with Chris Wallace is the one that I'm thinking of.
Yes.
So it probably is the same interview, but it was a completely different topic. So he was talking about how much he hates what he calls menial pleasantries. Like, when you hang out with someone, you had a good time, and let's say they bought dinner, and you say thank you, and then the next day you text them back, hey, thanks again for dinner. He hates that. He hates the extras. He says, don't text me Happy New Year. I don't want it. You won't get a response from me. And I'm just curious if you guys agree that, like, that just the menial kind of overdone thank yous and things like that are annoying, or is he just being kind of an old fart?
Curmudgeon, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, this is kind of how you build relationships and keep relationships is by showing people you appreciate them and telling them, Sue just left and she said, I hope you have a nice Easter. How much of a jerk would I have to be like, oh, I wish you wouldn't say stuff like that. You know, it's nice. It's just a sweet thing to do for someone you care about. He's just a curmudgeon.
Yeah. His quote on this, so like he used birthday as an example, and he said, I'd rather not get the happy birthday text because then I have to return it. That's all I'm saying. I'd rather just not get it so I don't have to say thank you.
I'd say that's a curmudgeon. Yeah.
Yeah.
My only thing that I relate to that is that I really value when someone knows how to end a conversation.
Yeah.
And when someone gets the okie doke. And it really bugs me when they don't, someone blows through the okey-doke. Like, I just think that by the time you're a grown person, you should understand when it's okay, we're wrapping it up, whether it's text or it's actual human voice.
Yeah.
And when people keep going one more, it's like, that gets a little annoying.
Yeah, I think he's just being a crab ass. I mean, I think...
Well, that's his stock and trade.
Yeah, yes. I mean, it's fully in character. But I will admit, sometimes I do get annoyed by the over-the-top. Like the nonstop. So like as an example, I used to complain about it all the time, but like I finally found a way to turn it off where people that are your Facebook friends can tell when your birthday is, because then you get a bunch of happy birthdays from people you haven't talked to in 30 years. And it's not, you don't care or like them, but like, now I feel like an ass when I don't wish you happy birthday.
It's kind of the same thing Larry David said.
Yes, I know. So, I mean, I identify, but it doesn't make me angry when somebody does it. You see what I'm saying? Like, I just don't want to be the jerk that gets the happy birthday but doesn't do it the other way around. Like, I'm not on there going, whose birthday is it today?
So you don't send people happy birthdays?
I mean, close family members, yes. Like, people that I see a lot, yes. So, like, you know, you guys or, you know, my brother or
so
my...
So there's someone on the bubble. There's one person who's almost not getting a happy birthday.
Well, let's put it this way. Most people, I don't even know when their birthday is. Mm. Like, Derek Gould's one of my best friends. I don't know when his birthday is.
Yeah.
But if I notice on Facebook that it's his birthday, I'll probably send him a text and say, hey, buddy, happy birthday. You know, but it's something.
He's like, oh, God, now I have to answer Wheeler.
I know. That's what I'm thinking. So I don't know. I'm torn. I think it's if it's people that you know texting you. Now, I guess the problem is he probably has a buttload of people that have his phone number. Does that change it for you guys? Because, like, there's only a certain number of people that have our number. He's famous. He's probably done interviews. He's probably got people. If you're getting, like, let's say 500 of those, I can see how that would be really annoying.
I guess I'm just super needy. I can't get enough happy birthday wishes.
You like those things?
Yeah, me too. I like them, too.
I like them from people that I interact with a lot. But, like, Johnny from grade school, I haven't seen in 35 years. I'm not like, oh, thanks, bud. Hope life has been good for 35 years.
I do wonder how many people, like, because we all have people in our phone who it's like, oh, it's cool that this person is in my phone. I don't want to overstep and make them regret, you know, giving me their number.
Who's the most famous person that you might be able to say happy birthday to?
I mean,
you.
Dave Murray. The most famous guy in St. Louis.
That would be, that doesn't count. He would love a happy birthday.
Well, yeah. I'm not saying like.
Who would you not send one to? But you could.
I mean,
Nikki Glaser?
I don't have her number. I have her email.
Oh, I can give it to you.
I could email her.
A happy birthday email. Leave a little sign in her yard.
But if I did have her phone number, there is no way in hell I would text her happy birthday. You know what I mean? Because it's like, you don't even remember who you're going to be like, who is this? You're abusing the text rule here at this point. So I wonder how much like truly famous people are like getting texts from an intern or something they worked with 8 years ago and then having to block that number.
Do you think the test should be like if you sent her a text and said happy birthday, but you didn't say who it was from? The fact that she wouldn't know who it was from is the test.
That's a good test. Yeah,
yeah. That is a good test.
Like, and, who is this again?
And it probably goes for friends and family, too. If you haven't, you know, if it's someone you, like Kevin said, if you went to grade school together, but you haven't spoken in 20, 30 years, maybe don't do the text message is just a little more intimate than, like, shouting out
Facebook?
On Facebook or Twitter. Yeah. Or something.
This could be my own insecurity, but if it's one of you guys, fine. But if it's someone who I know well, but we've not spoken in 3 months, I'll say, hey, it's Glove, blah, 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 hoping that I'm in their phone
right.
And it shows up as Dave. But if not, I don't want them to be embarrassed and me when they say, yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Because they always lie. I'm sorry. I got a new phone. And all my contacts were lost. Yeah. And you're the only person I don't know who you are.
I mean, do that all the time. I'll be like, hey, it's especially if it's like for the show. I'm like, it's Rachel from the Dave Glover show. Because yeah. I don't expect them to know who Rachel is either.
Even the people who are on the think tank like every other week, I'm always like, hey, Andrew from the Dave Glover show here, just in case. Because, you know, you don't have to save my number. I'm nobody. I'm worthless.
And he's like, flock me. I'm scum.
I'm scum.
Kev, what did you think of basketball yesterday?
You know, I'm not saying the games were good. I mean, it's fun to see North Carolina lose. It always it's not a thing that you hate North Carolina. My kid's going to grad school there, so I don't hate them, but I do like seeing the big dogs, the number one seeds, mm-hmm. lose. And you know, it's not like Alabama's like one of the scrappy underdogs, but in that matchup they were. But I know, you know, one thing you'll notice, though, is obviously now all the Cinderellas are gone. They were gone at the end of last weekend. So it's all big. Like, you know, like yesterday, the big upset was Clemson beating Arizona. I mean, it's Clemson. You know, it's a big ACC school. And actually, the bigger buzz this year for a lot of people is the women's tournament.
Yeah.
There's a lot more buzz about Caitlin Clark and what's going on with Iowa and whether or not they're going to win a championship with the best player that they've ever had and maybe one of the best players in the history of women's college basketball. It's been pretty chalky in the men's game. Like, it's the big boys, and it's going to be a lot of the most talented teams in the country. So the Final Four will probably be really good, like high-quality basketball.
Who does Illinois play now?
I don't remember if it's determined yet or not. They've got to play UConn. That's right. Yeah, good luck. UConn's awesome. Not to say you can't beat them. You're the number three seed. You're in a game that you can win, but UConn's really good. Really. I mean, I think UConn was the Vegas favorite coming in to the tournament.
I think you're right.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, they're a one seed. But, yeah, Illinois can win that game. Did you, on a side note, since you brought that up, did you see the thing that happened with this guy who is I think he's a state rep in Michigan?
Yes.
He was tweeting out, and I got to find the exact story because it's crazy, because I put this in the holy crap, you're stupid news. This guy named Matt Maddock tweeted out pictures of a bunch of tour buses at the airport in Detroit and said that they were full of illegal invaders. And he was wondering why they had a police escort and where are these illegal invaders going to police? It was Gonzaga's basketball team.
How about that?
And he has not offered up like an apology. He just deleted the tweet.
So he sees people of color getting into a car being led by a police
into buses.
Escort.
Yeah, they're big, big buses with the windows blacked out.
Makes the assumption that they are undocumented immigrants, calls them
at the airport, no
less. Illegal invaders.
How do you get to be undocumented through an airport?
And it's the Gonzaga basketball
team. It is a college basketball team.
And it's because you're racist. That's how you make
Yes. That stuff's not even disqualifying. He's just going to keep on going. Have you seen the one here?
No.
There's a guy in Missouri who's like going crazy, and I forget what his name is. But he has
racist
been
crazy.
I mean, calling people like the F slur on Twitter, like publicly doing these things. He used the P word for Jason Kander. Like, he's doing these things publicly, like on Twitter.
Is he a guy or is he just a guy?
He's in office.
Yeah, see if you can find it.
Yeah, I'm going to try to find the name. I think his name, I don't know how to pronounce it, but I think it's Basye.
Okay.
So maybe it's Bassy or Basie, but he is, he's letting them rip. Let's just put it that way, like insults left and right. All right, it's DGS on a Friday. We got Cardinals baseball coming up tonight, 8:15 for the pregame show, 9:10 for that first pitch. Looking forward to seeing if they can bounce back after yesterday's difficulties, and here to talk a bit about that attempt to bounce back and a little bit about yesterday, too. We don't want to do too much looking back, maybe a little more looking forward with my friend Derek Gould of the Post-Dispatch. Hello, Mr. Gould. How's the West Coast, buddy?
It is. It's nice. It's not a bad place. Deadlines accepted, to be candid, to start a season. I mean, you can't beat, there are some great opening days that St. Louis has, one of the best, obviously.
Yep.
But to have an opportunity to be at a packed house at Dodger Stadium is Shohei Ohtani with all that's swirling around him and all the talent on that Dodgers team, to see that was, hard not to enjoy that as a baseball fan.
Yeah, I'm jealous. I haven't been out there, obviously. I've been to a number of opening days, but never seen that one. But I understand it's pretty awesome along the lines of what we have here in St. Louis. All right, looking back to yesterday, Derek, I'm just going to keep this one simple. And anything that stands out to you? I mean, look, it's one game. You're going up against arguably the best team in baseball, and if they're not the best, they're in the top two or three. You're in a spot that's difficult. You don't have your whole roster. It went poorly. Do we take anything from it?
It looked kind of familiar, right? I mean, that's probably the one thing that, for a team that wanted to be way different than last year, it was pretty familiar. They get behind early and don't muster much late. And really didn't muster much at all. Tyler Glasnow was really good for six innings, and Miles Mikolas didn't get through five.
Right.
So there's a lot of the 2024 opener that looked a lot like 2023, and for a team that didn't want anything to do with that, that probably should catch their eye. I mean, I know injuries are a problem, and they're not the team that they thought they were. They thought Sonny Gray would be starting that game. He's not. They thought Lars Nootbaar would be in left field. He's not. They thought Victor Scout would be in Memphis today, being the leadoff hitter in center field. He's in the majors. So they're not the team they imagined, but they are the team that played a game that we all saw a lot of last year, and that should give them pause.
Yeah, I would agree that most of us are hoping to see different. And as we look ahead to tonight, Derek, and the rest of the weekend, Zach Thompson is getting an opportunity to deal with that. And look, the Dodgers lineup is very top heavy. I mean, it's good all the way down. They have good players all the way down. But, you got three MVPs, 1, 2, 3, and they don't care whether you're right-handed or left-handed. None of the three have any issues with either side from the mound. Mm-hmm. So what does Zach Thompson do tonight, or what's important to look for tonight that can at least just keep them in check, right? I mean, you don't think you're going to go make them all go 0-for-4, but how do you keep them from doing what happened yesterday?
For Zach Thompson, it's about being aggressive and landing the pitches that were so new and so counterintuitive that the technology still hasn't caught up to him. All spring long, the radar and the Statcast and the Baseball Savant had no idea how to classify his pitches, which is a good thing. It means it's getting new movement. It's getting movement that can't be compared to things that he pitched before. And even kind of throwing off. I mean, he throws a slider that is a cutter. He throws two different types of curveballs. One that was considered a slider a lot, and then the other one that is more of the traditional curve and is has like Kershaw-esque personality.
Yep.
To be candid. And if he lands that, then he's going to have a lot of success. But then he throws in that tighter baby curve, he calls it, but it's really kind of a power curve.
Right.
And hitters don't know what to do with that. And then, of course, he has a changeup, which he really rarely threw and didn't have a whole lot of success with. But now it's good, and it has so little spin that hitters think it's a fork ball, but it's not. It's a change. If he continues, that's what I'm saying, is he defies description, and that's a really good way to defy hitters.
Yeah.
So if he can do that, I mean, he's going to have some success.
Absolutely. All right, so looking ahead as we go, I mean, obviously you got him tonight. He'll be going up against another tough right-hander. Bobby Miller is filthy. He's not a household name, but, he's a young guy, throws hard, got a splitter. Seems like everybody
throws really hard.
Yeah, he's one of those upper 90s guys, kind of like Glasnow, so no real break there. But a different look, which is – maybe not good, right? I mean, Glasnow's fastball curveball, you know, Miller's more fastball splitter, which is what you're going to get on Saturday, too, with Yamamoto.
And
that'll be the game that Lynn is pitching for the Cardinals. So, obviously, it's Thompson, Lynn, and then Matz. This, to me, I'm not judging Lance Lynn on any one start, but I'm curious to see how this is going to go. I mean, last year was terrible. He was really good, actually, the year before. He was pretty good in 2022. What's fair to expect, Derek? I mean, we can't expect a rewind to the peak of Lance Lynn, but which is more indicative of what we should expect, last year or the year before for Lance?
Probably the year before. I had so much time in spring training to ask this question, and yet I still haven't gotten around to it, and I need to. But I am fascinated by the fact that, you know, the White Sox had two guys who gave up more than 40 home runs last year. Why were both of those guys on the same staff? What was going on there? That seems odd to me, right?
Yep.
And, you know, Lance had some issues with his mechanics delivery, you know, started trying to work on a sweeper slider, which everybody was doing, and it just wasn't working, and lost some other feel for his pitches on the way there, and probably compounded things by trying to improve things, which is not unusual for a pitcher. You know, for him, it's about maintaining his movement, maintaining his aggressiveness, and yeah, having some velocity there. And a dip in velocity puts him in a bad spot, right?
Yep.
Because, you know, it's the movement isn't as effective. He doesn't have that same margin for error. But I also think that, like, just being at Busch Stadium will help him. That obviously isn't the case this weekend when he pitches at Dodger Stadium.
But Dodger Stadium's fair, though. It's not tough.
It's big. Yeah, it's fair. It's fair for everybody, but, like, what, triples, right? But, yeah, as Shohei Ohtani found out. I think I really interested to see, like, Lance Lynn is just unapologetic with his fastball, always will be. If the velocity's there, he's got this. If he can get some of the deception back too, that's also something to watch. He, you know, he has deception that is also related to that fastball. It's got to be heavy. It's got to be dropping. It's got to almost be like he's throwing a bowling ball in there. And when he gets that, that's when he's at his most successful. But I think so. To answer your question, probably the previous year is more fair because there is something just off about both guys, he and Lucas Giolito, having the same struggle at the same ballpark with the same team.
That's a really good point. All right, buddy, we got to get out of here. Appreciate you doing this. Safe travels to San Diego, then safe trip back home, and hopefully be able to run into you on opening day next week. Thanks for doing it.
That'd be great, man. Always great to talk to you. Thanks, Kevin.
335 DGS on KMOX. Gorgeous day out there. Rare for a good Friday. Dave Murray joins us. Hey, Dave.
Hello there.
So, yeah.
We'll take it.
Kind of breaking the pattern, right?
Yeah, for a little bit.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
Here's what's going on. There's a big storm moving down the West Coast. It's going to kind of find a home in the desert Southwest over the Four Corners region. At the same time, there's going to be a front that drapes over Missouri and Illinois, and that front's going to wave around from time to time throughout the weekend. A lot of the weekend is going to be dry, but this front should become very active as we get into Sunday night and into Monday. It's not a perfect weekend, but it's not a real wet weekend either. So there you go.
Yeah, fair enough.
But the real good news is opening day on Thursday, sunny and 65.
All right.
Very nice.
Hey, we'll take it. There we go.
Trade that for Easter, right?
Hell yeah.
So what we're looking at is some cloudiness will be around overnight tonight. The wind will stay up. The wind will actually increase a little bit. We're seeing some wind gusts right now up to 30. There will be a couple of scattered showers late tonight. Very limited. Let's not worry about it. 55. Saturday looks like a pretty good day. Partly sunny, windy, 75. Couple of showers around Saturday night, 52, but not a lot. Easter Sunday, partly sunny, windy, warm, more humid. There will be a couple of showers, maybe a thunderstorm around on Easter Sunday, but a lot of the time is going to be dry. 80 degrees for the high. An uptick in scattered shower and thunderstorm activity as we get into Sunday night. Be it overnight stuff, 62 for the overnight low, very humid. Monday, changeable sky, mix of clouds and sunshine, scattered showers and thunderstorms, 78. And the shower and thunderstorm activity should really start to percolate late in the day Monday and into Monday night. That's probably the best opportunity for some strong to severe weather. But this is such a setup. It makes me just throw my hands up and go, we just have to watch this day by day.
Yeah, fair enough. Dave, I don't think I've ever asked you this. So over your career as a professional meteorologist, did you have parameters for like the next day going, even just kind of to yourself, like I nailed that forecast, or I really could have done better on that one? Like if you're off by a degree, 5 degrees or an inch of snow, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, a degree of temperature doesn't bother me at all. All the other stuff bothers me.
Yeah.
Bothers me a lot. If a forecast is great, that's great. If forecast is a little dicey, I'm not happy about it. If it falls off the tracks, I'm really not happy about it. And then I go back and I look at things and say, okay, I'm not going to let that happen again.
Yeah. And were there typically things where you're like, I missed that one, or is it just the weather's the weather and sometimes it just does what you're not expecting?
No, I never say that to myself. Missed that. What I say is, I missed that one. And why did I miss it? Hmm. And most of the time when I do it here, when I was on the air on television, I would explain, okay, I missed that one, folks. And here's why. Here's why I missed it. And try to explain it. And people in St. Louis love that. They love to know a reason why something failed.
Were you one of the first non-weathermen, you know, just the guys who had the little pictures of the sun that would stick to a board kind of guy?
No, I was right on the cutting edge of that. I started it in 1976, late 1976. Now, I had the magnetic maps and the pens and all that kind of stuff. But science was really coming into the forefront, introduced satellite maps. Mm-hmm. We'd actually, you know, we'd get them on a fax machine, and I'd post them up on a bulletin board, and the camera would take a shot at it.
Wow.
Introduced, you know, really chroma key, introduced graphics to the point where the graphics started as a point-by-point thing just to draw a straight line. Mm-hmm. In fact, it got to the point where I was one of the beta testers for the first graphic systems of weather. And I know there's kids out there, heck, 30 and younger, going, what do you mean? The graphics have been with us forever. Well, they haven't. And I fooled around with these computers all the time, pulling boards, doing this, to the point where, and that was kind of a crossover on some union jobs. Mm-hmm. But we had a little meeting with the union guys and said, okay, I can bother you all the time to say, come on over here and pull this board out. Or I could do it behind the set and nobody knows what I'm doing.
Mm.
They said, just do it behind the set and we won't know what you're doing.
Because
we
don't want to be.
We don't want to live back there with you.
So when you are doing kind of the classic, you're standing next to the weather and it's moving and we can see it all going, and you're looking at something else, what are you looking at?
There are monitors on, if you're looking at, like looking at the TV set, there's a monitor to my right, a monitor to my left, and a monitor right in front of me. And the key is those monitors have to be right at your eye level. So, you know, there's different heights of people who do weather. So the one on the camera is that's easy because that camera is going to be at your eye level. But the ones to the left and to the right are on these kind of movable platforms where if somebody's a little taller or a little shorter, we can move the monitor down a little bit. Easy to do. Really easy to do.
When you see people just starting out maybe that aren't setting the world on fire doing the weather, can you typically, if you could spend a couple hours with them, could you really help them?
I could help them a little bit maybe on presentation. I'm not going to help them a lot as far as forecasting is concerned. That's lots of work and lots of work. I can give them some pointers.
Yeah.
I can give them some tips. I can give them some rules of thumb, but they have to be willing to put the work into it to get good at this.
And have you ever seen anyone, this is sort of a question I would ask like an Ozzie Smith or something, but have you ever seen anyone that does what you do where you're like, damn, they're just so good?
Oh, sure. Absolutely. I respect really good weather talent. Absolutely. And that's around the country.
Cool. Headlines, Rach?
Yeah, brought to you by Schnucks. Get your groceries delivered or use curbside pickup with the Schnucks Rewards app. My first headline is this is a nightmare. A six-month-old was left in a closed daycare in Philadelphia, and three former daycare workers are facing charges for leaving this six-month-old girl asleep inside of their closed daycare last month. They were each charged with endangering the welfare of a child and conspiracy. Police were called to the daycare around 5:30 p.m. after the child's parents came to pick up their daughter and found the building closed a half hour early. They tried to call the phone number on the building's front window and got no response. Finally, they were able to contact the owners of other daycare centers and were finally able to get in touch with the owner and manager. They found the infant asleep in a corner of the darkened daycare center. I mean, that. Yikes. Can you imagine Yikes. Showing up and it's closed and you don't know what's going on with your child?
Yeah, I'm breaking in.
Oh, yeah, me too.
100%.
I would too.
Yeah.
All right, moving on here. STD rates rose in the 55-plus age group. Between 2012 and 2022, they more than doubled chlamydia, gonorrhea, and syphilis in people ages 55 and up. Getting busy out there, people.
No comment.
No comment here either.
Do you guys remember the conjoined twins, Abby and Brittany Hensel?
Boy, do I.
Yeah, I remember seeing them in Life magazine when I was a little girl and just being so fascinated by them. Well, it turns out that Abby Hensel has been married since 2021, and the photos went viral this week, and people are like, how does that work? Being nosy. And
I know a little bit from Chang and Ang. You know Chang and Ang?
No.
They were the not the original Siamese twins. There had been Siamese twins before that, but that's why they say Siamese twins. Is these two gentlemen from Siam, and they were attached a little bit differently. They're more attached by, like, the torsos.
Yeah.
But they traveled around and did shows and circuses and things like that, and that's why we call people who are conjoined Siamese twins. And they were both married, and they talked pretty openly and extensively about, like, yep, this is what you do. And one person just sorts of hey, it's my time with my spouse, and you do what you're going to do. And then
you
when
read a book.
You read a book, basically. Yeah. I mean, what a way to live your life. They teach like a third grade class, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And they actually, their heads are atop one shared torso.
And one controls the left and one controls the right.
Correct.
Can they both get pregnant, do we know?
All organs below the waist are shared, but they can get pregnant. So I don't know how that custody would work out or anything like that. Very interesting stuff.
Yeah, really fascinating.
Wow, I think about that all weekend long. Not really.
Now I'm going to think about you thinking about that all weekend long.
Sunday Dave's going to be like, I wonder if Dave's thinking about that.
Yeah, I'm just picturing Dave drawing pictures and stuff. Two heads, one baby.
Drawing a chart.
Yeah.
The solar eclipse is coming up, and a new device is going to allow blind people to hear the eclipse. It's called a light sound box, and it will translate the shifting light patterns into sound. Bright sun will produce high-pitched flute sounds, which will drop in pitch to a low clicking sound as the darkness takes over.
I mean, okay. I mean, that's cool.
Yeah.
But it's cool. Not that cool.
Well, I mean,
cool.
if you want to experience the eclipse with everyone else.
Well, or someone next to you could go like, there it goes.
Listen to everything else. Listen to the sounds of nature.
Let's see here. I'll do one more story. The king of Easter candy is not a bunny, hollow or solid, as we were talking about earlier during the Blindside Top 5. It turns out me and Wheels' favorite, the recent Reese's peanut butter eggs, are the most popular, according to Instacart and DoorDash.
All hail the king.
Although, I hesitate to say it's the very best use of the chocolate to peanut butter ratio. Correct. It's good. It's good.
There's way too much peanut butter.
No, that's what makes it the best.
Yeah, I like the loads of peanut butter as well.
If they could make the regular ones with less chocolate and more peanut butter, I'm in.
Not to be just boring, but I'm more of a classic Reese's cup guy.
Same. I feel the exact same way. Nope. I want heavier on the chocolate, lighter on the peanut butter, and it's like the
ratio
is totally...
Have you tried the thins?
What's wrong with
you? I haven't tried the thins.
The thins are good, and the big cups are good, too. They give you plenty of chocolate with the big cups.
Big cups are stellar.
More peanut butter.
Thank you, Dave.
All right. Happy weekend.
351 DGS on KMOX. Wheels, what's going on in New York?
So I saw this randomly the other day on Twitter. I'm sorry, on TikTok when I was just scrolling through, and it popped up. And now it's news everywhere. You can find it on almost any news site. Women in New York City are just being randomly punched in the face. by men, or I don't know if it's a serial puncher or if it's more than one, but it sounds like they're in different parts of the city.
Mm-hmm.
So I they arrested one person involved, or allegedly involved, but all of the women that it happened to have said, that's not the guy that punched me. There's another there, and I'm sure it's tied to it, but there was another woman who was a little older. They were mostly young women, mostly looked like in their 20s that it was happening to. But there's another woman that looked like maybe late 30s, early 40s, who got sucker punched, and it's on camera that she got sucker punched, and her jaw is wired shut. Her jaw is broken. That's how hard she got punched. And they're showing up with like black eyes on the camera. They've got swollen cheeks, and you can see the bruising where they got hit. What do you do? Like, and they're saying these things are happening in broad daylight walking down the street, not like it's the dark of night and nobody can see what's going on. But what? I don't understand. I don't understand. And what do you do?
I was thinking about something similar to this. I saw, again, a TikTok. But no, actually, it was a news report. It was just the subways have always been a place for crazy people.
Yeah.
But now they said that it's almost every ride you take, there's one person on every car who's just losing it and screaming and yelling and throwing punches at the air, and everyone just sits there with their headphones on and doesn't make eye contact. But you're sitting there like, is this the time it happens? Is this guy going to pull? Did you see the knifing?
Yeah.
The guy dressed up like the Scream character and killed four people and injured seven or something like that.
Where was that? I know I saw that recently.
Yeah. It just happened yesterday. I forgot where it was, though. But yeah, what do you do? If you're there with your significant other or by yourself or with your family and someone is acting a fool, do you just try to pretend it's not happening and hopefully you make it off the subway, or do you go up to the person?
Yeah, and I'm forgetting the name now, but then you end up like that,
the guy who got him in a headlock.
Right, the soldier who chokes a guy out because he's acting like that.
Yeah.
And now that guy, and look, he clearly screwed up because it ended up killing the guy, but he's now being prosecuted for it. So what's your message? This is kind of what I'm asking. Like, what is, if I see that happen walking down the street, am I supposed to just keep walking? Am I supposed to approach that guy? And if I hurt that guy,
then you're in trouble.
Am I in trouble now because I stepped in? I mean, like, I don't understand how we can't just be doing better at this. And by the way, why don't the subways have better surveillance and have
there was
a little
a guy,
bit more security on there?
There was a guy with his rap sheet was a mile long, and he just always, you know, catch and release. And he shoved someone onto the train tracks. There were six cops on that trestle. He just didn't care.
Yeah.
He just walked right past him and shoved a guy down, and they arrested him again, and he'll be out again. I think a lot of it's crime and punishment. I mean, if you're crazy enough to walk around New York City punching people in the face, you may not have the cognition to put two and two together, but I'm still putting your non-cognition ass in jail for a really long time.
Yeah, for sure.
I think that those are different people. Like, the one pushing someone on the tracks is a crazy person. The other ones, it sounds like it's a... I mean, there's been
like
the
knockout
game. Yeah, yeah.